And now we conclude this first session. From the fig tree, says Jesus, learn a lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, all what things? I have to go back over the chapter again. The destruction of the temple, yes, it's one thing is mentioned. The deception, violence, persecution, sacrilege. There's some of the things that he's mentioned that have all happened, by the way, to their contemporaries. We're not crystal balling the end of the world in a million AD or whatever. That's got nothing to do. They're not the slightest bit interested in that, surely. They're wondering about the meaning of history and when is it going to end, but they're concerned for their kids and themselves. So when you've seen all these things, know that he's very near. The Son of Man is very near you, at your very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Don't you think that's a clear line? So of course he's not talking about 200 AD. Of course he's not talking about the communist revolution or who's the latest, I don't know. Better not get into politics, but all this, everyone's claiming the end of the world's coming because, look, Matthew is being fulfilled in Iraq or Dublin, for God's sake, on the Feast of St. Patrick, or Henley Beach. No, this generation will not pass away till all these things have taken place. They all take place, we're going to see, on the cross. That's where it's all essentially seen. All the deception, all the bitterness, all the persecution, all the horror of humanity thrown there against Jesus and all the love of God responding. The whole judgment, everything we need to know is to be seen there. Heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not pass away. And now Jesus attends to the third question. If you remember, they want to know about the temple, they want to know about how do we know when you're around or when you're coming or... And the third question was, and the end of the age. When's that going to happen? Very interesting question, not at all interesting. Matthew dismisses it in one line. About that day, I mean, if you really want to know about that, says Jesus, and that hour, if you're interested in calculating the end of the world, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus doesn't know it. It's not part of Revelation. He's got no opinion about it. Doesn't think about it. Couldn't care less about it because it's irrelevant in a way. He just knows nothing about it. And Matthew's telling his community, stop speculating about it. Stop worrying about it. It's an irrelevancy. The end of the world is, well, you can speculate if you want to, but it's a scientific question anyhow. The key thing is the end of my world, the end of our world. How do we make our world a beautiful place? How do we avoid it being destroyed? How do we get about preaching the good news? No one knows about that day and hour. Only the angels, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. It's an unrevealed reality. So then Matthew will take us more beautifully and more easily in our second session to see, well, what is the coming of the Son of Man? How do we respond to the Son of Man? How does history respond? What's the actual essence of the revelation of the gospel? So I'll look at that with you after the break. Logical discourse continues. And now he moves to a second section of it with some warnings to us or advice to give us in our approach to this mystery, but this presence of the Son of Man. Chapter 24, verse 37, the need to be vigilant. As in the days of Noah, so will this coming of the Son of Man. As in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. in our own personal lives. It's a mystery we can't control in the life of a people. So we don't control this. This is grace. So let us be vigilant. Two will be in the field and one will be taken and one left. Two women grinding meal together, one will be taken and one left. Yesterday I was called into a funeral parlour and there was a man there, they were dressing him. He'd been killed in a road accident 2 days earlier, still being prepared. And his sister was there preparing him and they were both in the same car. He's dead and she's bruised. One will be taken and one left. An accident in the gravel, no one else involved. So, and he's out here from another country and has to be flown back. Terrible tragedy for everybody and all of that, but there it is, unexpected. Could happen to me tonight, could happen to you. It can. Keep awake, therefore, says Jesus. This is the thing we need to know. Keep alert, sensitive, attentive. You do not know on what day your Lord is coming for you. You don't know. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. We've already been told we have nothing to worry about it. But let's be alert, ready, living in the presence of God, and it can only bring joy. Matthew comes back again at leadership. It's a very important issue in Matthew's community, it seems. And so we're looking at those responsible for the community now. Who then is the faithful and wise slave, domestic slave, whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. That mother, that doctor, that nurse, that teacher, that priest, that care of children, that person in that position of nurturing, doing your task, doing my task. But if that wicked slave says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour that he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and put him with the hypocrites. Hypocrites, the word we saw in chapter 23, constantly used of the Pharisees in their bad leadership of the community. He will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so just as on the human level, he's not describing God there, this is a parable, on the human level, that's what would a master would do in that autocratic society to his slave. Terrible though it is, that's the way they're treated, that's the world they're in, that's what would happen. Well, in a parallel way, if we are open, doing our task to God, we will be taken into life. If we're not, we will be lost to life. And all we can live with is the anguish, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, a constant phrase in Matthew, as we've seen, of the pain and frustration of a meaningless existence ending in a meaningless end.